You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. We beat a lot
of Liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, you never know what's going to happen on Cleveland Browns Daily here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And right now, business has picked up as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, joining us live in studio. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
How's phase two of the off-season program going?
Getting a lot done. It's just that time of year. You're just always thrilled to get out there on the field and enjoy this roller coaster ride of Cleveland weather. So one day it's 85, the next day it's 55. But no, it's really been good to get out there to really take what we've been doing in the classroom and now get a chance to get out and start to work it on the field. So it's great. The rules are set up this way. It's invaluable time for us from a bonding standpoint.
Sure.
And just from an installation standpoint, some guys just don't, you know, they see it in the classroom or they see it in the book, but they truly don't learn it till they get out and are able to visualize it on the field.
And I know all coaches are perfectionists. How about the execution? Just the fact that these guys are picking up and taking it, as you said, from the classroom to the field. Are you guys ahead? Are you right where you want to be right now in phase two? You know, just really antsy to get out on the field with helmets and shoulder pads on and OTAs.
Well, very pleased where we are defensively, and it's only natural because we are in year two, having a lot of guys back and having a really good feel for what we were trying to get done last year and all that we went through kind of figuring out who we were. You always have your inventory of calls, but you really don't know what you're good at until you kind of get going, until you get into real game situations. So we came out of the year with a much better sense of kind of our identity and what we felt we were going to major in from a schematic standpoint, and we were able to fine-tune that through the off time as coaches. And now we'll be able to apply it with the players back in town. And we feel that we have a very intelligent group from a football standpoint. We throw a lot at them. That's always the point of the spring, is throw a lot at the guys and see what sticks. And the old sponge theories I've talked about before, just keep throwing it on it and just see how much it can take. And then on the other side, we're high-volume installation as well, throwing a lot at the guys from a formation standpoint, a shift standpoint. Because we don't know at this point yet what are we. We feel good about the zone run scheme, a lot of carryover from last year with Coach Mulder, Coach DeLeon, Coach Angelico, Coach Montgomery, having been very good teachers of that from a year ago, to be able to carry that into this year. And then on top of that, just what we felt we were missing, some complements to that, some gap scheme runs, some misdirection runs, some things where we're getting double teams at the point of attack as opposed to all one-on-one blocks. And I really like where we are. The big thing for us now is we'll finish the spring with a very large inventory. We have to determine at some point, start to trim that down to what we are. What do we do best? And then what do we not do well? And that's something that can kind of fall by the wayside. But we need to come up with what our identity is on offense. And I feel we're right on pace to do that. The guys are all here. They've been great in the meetings I've been sitting in on them, and it carries over to the field.
You got a lot of contributions from rookies last year, and these guys now in their second year, whether it be Crow, Terrence West on offense, Justin Gilbert, Kaywan Williams, Pierre Desir on defense. How are those young players coming along in your eyes, and have you seen already a big difference now in their second seasons?
Well, I think it's not just them. I think it's all of us. It's even us as coaches. I mean, if people have asked me, how do you feel now going into year two? And it's just like, I knew nothing a year ago. And you feel like you have the answers to the test. And I know it's true for the players as well. Just them flashing back to a year ago, coming out of the draft or not being drafted, and just kind of that blur of the end of the college season, your last college season, whether you're playing a bowl game or not, then you transition right into – getting ready for the combine.
Sure.
And then you all of a sudden it's all that work up to the draft with the private workouts and kind of being on the banquet tour and all these visits and all that, and never really kind of settling in, and then you get drafted and bang, next thing you know you're in a rookie camp, and then you hit the ground running and you never get a chance to, I think, to really hit the reset button, and now you're getting used to moving to a strange place and rookie life and dealing with all that, the grind of the season. And I think it was good for all those guys to kind of get out of the year and do the, okay, self-assessment, where am I, hit the pause button, make sure things are right on and off the field. And for those guys to come in here now, it's just so much further ahead, so much more confidence because they know what to expect. They know what an NFL playbook is like, even though we're somewhat different from what they were a year ago. But it's not like it's these aren't concepts that they haven't had in the past. Maybe just called something different. So we're looking for big things from all the guys that you mentioned, and we got a whole fresh crop now of rookies getting ready to go through the same thing.
That's right, and to just stay on those rookies, we haven't really had an opportunity to have you in the Dog Bowl to talk about the addition of the 12 draft
picks.
Dog
Bowl, is that what we call it?
This is the Dog Bowl. Yes. Yeah.
How come there's nothing dog related up then?
We had the big swagger head. We had the
they
big Patton head as well.
We did.
My kids enjoyed vetoed. That. They took selfies with it.
They took Sharpie markers to it. But how excited were you to just add the 12 draft picks and also to the impact that a lot of those guys made on you in that rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I just as a staff, we look at it and feel, because we were very much in agreement, coaching and personnel, on a lot of these picks, and we felt the draft really fell our way in a lot of ways, and feel great about this class. Unless we're just not very good talent evaluators, we feel very good about this class and how quickly they can make contributions for us. And the rookie camp was great exposure. We were able to bring in 70-plus players. And when I saw the list, we kept getting emails every day of these guys have been added. These guys went from like in the 50s to the 60s, and next thing you know, we're pushing 80s. And hats off to our operations department and the guys in the training room and the equipment room. Just from a standpoint of being able to handle that many players, getting them in here or getting them on flights and just all that stuff, and for us to get the production that we got out of that camp and to find players. It was a tremendous thing, and the Cleveland Browns clearly got better that weekend as a result of the camp. And the encouraging thing was our draft picks stood out. They were guys that every single one of them, except for the two guys that are hurt, Telfer and Ifo. Other than those two guys, every single one of them at one point made a play or plays where you said
shines.
That's what we saw. That's why we drafted them. So it was a very positive weekend, and we, like I said, we found some guys post draft as well that we feel we clearly got better.
Yeah, Duke and Cam certainly stood out on offense, and obviously the top guys, Nate Orchard, Danny Shelton, Xavier Cooper, and I thought Hayes Pollard also stood out on defense in that camp. Now this year, you know, it seemed everybody we talked to once they were drafted, we knew the Browns wanted us. We talked with Coach Pettine. We talked with the scouts. We talked with Ray Farmer. They knew that they were Browns guys. So now that they've gone from kind of this rookie mini camp, have they picked things up quicker because they kind of knew that you guys were so into them, so much time had been spent with them? Do you see almost an accelerated curve for these rookies this season?
Well, we do, and the one thing that really helps us is the rules. That when the new CBA was put together, it was pretty clear that the rookies did not have a representative at the table. The money was shifted more towards veteran players, so the rookie wage scale obviously took some money away from rookies. And also, a lot of people don't realize is the work rules for rookies are very different for veteran players. Veteran players are allowed to be here up to 4 hours a day, whereas rookies are on 10-hour days. So clearly, nobody had their interest in mind when they put those together. No, but we do a good job of kind of having a plan for them when they're in the building. We don't grind them too much, but at the same time, I mean, it's great opportunity for our coaches to get good one-on-one time with them and get them coached up. So that way, as graduate level things are being put in with our veteran guys and they're in the room with them and expected to be able to execute them on the field, that we have that time to circle back and go through, here's the install, here's what it means to you, because we go very fast when the vets are here, because it's stuff that they've heard, it's material they have down, and if you're a rookie and you're not getting any help outside of that, your head must just be, you know, spinning. So the work rules are great for us now that we can have the vets in the morning with the rookies, send the vets home, and now we get very concentrated time both on the field and in the classroom with the rookies in the afternoon.
Coach, I'm going to get back to a football question and something that you kind of alluded to in regards to John DeFilippo and the offense installation. And just understanding the zone scheme and, like you said, some misdirection offensively, just talk about how difficult that will be to prepare for as a defense, knowing whether you're going to see, you know, a team that can run the ball, the zone scheme, the misdirection, you know, the lead runner, the double teams, and how hard it is to put together a game plan for a team that can do multiple facets of runs in one football game.
Yeah, it's important for us as we put the package together to understand that we want to find middle ground. We don't want to be all just one thing.
Right.
That if a team kind of takes your fastball away, you have no complement. But at the same time, you still have to have something that's your go-to, that's your core. And that's really what we're finding out what we are now. What are our core plays going to be? Now, we might dress them up. We might be in different personnel groupings and different formations and different shifts and kind of get to those looks different ways, but still have those core plays be what they are. And to me, that's what makes it difficult to defend a team, when they have something that's their absolute go-to, but at the same time, they can kind of present it in a way that... That you're uneasy defensively, that you haven't seen it, like you've practiced all week, and then also you go out there on Sunday, and it doesn't quite look the same. It might be a different player in a different spot, or a formation they kind of arrived at it differently, or all of a sudden they go up tempo and they get you back on your heels with it. So those are all the things that we're looking to develop. What we don't want to do is just spread ourselves so thin that we're just end up being, you know, for lack of a better word, a grab bag offense, where we're like, right, hey, this looks good, this looks good. You need your core and you need compliments off of it. When if a defense takes your core away, you have to have answers. And those are the things that we're all kind of working through right now.
And you're having fun with this because the defense is in the second year, so now you're spending a lot more time on the offensive side of the ball. Kevin Jones wrote a great article about it at clevelandbrowns.com. Is that fun for you, and how's that relationship between you and Flip on the offensive side of the ball and kind of just getting immersed in that side of the football?
No, and it is fun, just because I've all my time in the NFL has been spent on the defensive side, and you kind of had a sense of how things were being taught and installed and kind of how offensive guys thought. But now to truly be in it from a planning phase to an installation part of it, that I've used the word rejuvenated. I mean, that's how I feel. Now, I'm a former high school quarterback.
That's right.
And when I coached high school, I coordinated the offense. So Flip has no idea what he's in for when I start bringing all these trick plays down to him to put in. But it really has been a great experience for me to sit in and see what good teachers and coaches, like to see Andy Moeller install the runs in front of the room, and to go out there to practice field and spend more time with the offense and watch a George DeLeon or Wilbert Montgomery, and watch those guys teach and to hear when they talk about stuff that I actually know what they're talking about, as opposed to before when they would talk about a concept I wouldn't necessarily know what it was, even though I'd have a guess, but now I know the specifics of it. I'm just so looking forward to the season and being a part of that process and being able to help Flip from a defensive perspective.
Coach, my last question is, how satisfying it is it for you and Ray as well to go out and get the right guys, make the right additions to change the culture in this locker room, and have so many leaders to hold some of the young players, as youthful as this group is, accountable to what it means to play like a Brown and to be a pro, which for me and a lot of players, that transition to be a pro and learn what it means to practice, prepare, rest, eat like a pro. But they have the guys who set the example in the locker room already here and growing in those roles.
No, and you have to have those guys, because as coaches, you can just say it. But if they're hearing it from coaches and then they kind of see the rest of the guys in the locker room that aren't really living it that way, then usually that's the path that those guys are going to go. And we feel that started in last year's free agency when we were able to bring in a Dante Whitner and a Hawkins and a Dansby, the guys that could provide that leadership in the locker room, in the meeting room, on the practice field. And I think it's great for any young player coming in here now that not only are they hearing it from the coaches, but it's being reinforced from their teammates. So when you look at the roster and how much it's transformed in a year, that we're very encouraged that we're heading in the right direction, that we're close to getting, from a roster standpoint, how we want it to be, that we feel that we've brought in high character guys that they're going to give great effort, not just talk about it, but are going to live it as well. And that's been one of the most encouraging things so far of my time here.
Talking with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, here in the Dog Bowl. Surprise visit, and we love it. We've talked, obviously, a lot about Johnny Manziel. We've heard effusive praise from you and also from Flip about what the kind of professional he's been since coming back in the building. We haven't heard as much about Justin Gilbert. How has Justin Gilbert been back here as he gets ready for year two in what is a very deep and talented cornerback room?
Justin's been great. That he's just his skill set is, I mean, when you look at it, you're like, this is the whatever it was, the eighth pick or the ninth
sure.
pick of the draft. I mean, he had a good spring for us a year ago as well. But it's you can sense that there's something different, and we're hopeful that he's turned the corner, and it's so far so good. And I'm sure he realizes when he looks around the room, like there's some pretty good talent in here. It has to be one of the deepest secondary rooms in the NFL. We're gonna have some great competition, and that's how we're built on defense, to be able to match up and eliminate wide receivers and dedicate more people inside. So we're thrilled to have the depth. I was doing the math the other day with Jim O'Neill.
We've tried to do the math.
You never want to do it too early, because you know there's so much can happen.
Sure.
But you need a starting point, and you know you're building a good roster when you realize that there's going to be some good football players that might end up on the outside looking in.
Yeah, we couldn't get it below 55, and I could get below 27 on defense. So I was going to ask you about competition. You know, that's what you're saying. We want to drive competition. The defensive line, absolutely loaded. You had two guys in the draft, and you signed some other guys in that rookie minicamp. The secondary room, the linebacking core, a lot of competition on both sides of the ball, too. I think you're seeing on the offensive line as well. What are you most looking forward to in terms of these competitions? Is there one position that you really want to see how it shakes out, where you feel very good about the talent and want to see them battle?
I don't know if there's any one position. If I had to say one, it probably would be the defensive line, because that was our goal this offseason, to turn what you might have perceived as a weakness into a strength. And just from a depth standpoint, you know you're it's going to be hard to go through the season without injuries. They're part of the game, and same thing happened to us on the offensive line, and it was pretty clear what our strategy was. Just look at our first two picks of the draft, that we
sure.
wanted to make sure we added depth where we get on both sides of the lines, and that was a critical thing for us. So you feel much better now when you realize just you have so many more options, that you don't go into a game holding your breath going, well, you know, the one guy we can't afford to lose is this guy. Next thing you know, that's the guy that the trainers are running out to see. So, and that's a big part of it. That I said it before when Alex. I mean, nobody cares when no sympathy cards get sent out.
Nope.
among coaches when guys get hurt. You have to be able to withstand the attrition during the season, and that's a big part of coaching. I tell the coaches this all the time, that you'll be evaluated as a coach by not just how your starters are playing, but even more importantly, how do your backups play when they have to go into a game? Because that's coaching now. Because those guys, as you know, the limited number of reps that those guys get during a week, typical game week, you're preparing your starters
yep.
for a game.
And that's it.
The twos get very little reps, other than maybe working off some scout team cards. They'll get a handful of plays here and there with their unit, but for the most part, the emphasis is on your starters and rolling some key subs in. And that's something I'm hopeful we're going to feel much better about during the fall is our depth at virtually every position.
Well, Coach, this was a lot of fun. We certainly appreciate you taking the time here. Good Memorial Day weekend coming up, and then OTAs for you, which will be very exciting. Finally get to see some real football, so I'm sure you must feel like it's not quite Christmas, but getting there as you get some real football here with
getting
this Browns team.
We still don't have pads on. Yeah, it's like my dad's like, tell me when you're
yeah.
gonna put pads on.
I feel the same
running
way.
Running around playing flag football.
You got the mini camp.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, we're still not pads.
Not until training camp.
So it's all right.
Even more build up now to that padded, that first padded practice.
I'm surprised they don't have rookies have to be in pads, since nobody's advocating for the rookies to get them out there.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't say that though. That'll probably end up happening.
Coach, we appreciate the time so very, very much. Best of luck to you and continuing the offseason program here with the Browns. Going to be a very fun offseason. A lot of competition out here in Berea. So thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right, that'll do it for us. What a great way to end the show here. Coach Mike Pettine sitting down, dropping some knowledge here. You never know what's going to happen in the Dog Bowl in Berea.
You
never know. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys, for the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, and Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.